I found this quote by Martin Luther this week. It says, "If I don't give God the first 3 hours of the day, I cannot get through my work."
How often do we fail to spend time with God because we feel as though we don't have any time to spare? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. If you feel you can't afford to spend time with your Heavenly Father, then come and join us today on The Tide, when we'll be reminded that we can't afford not to. Pastor Dwayne Potiker will begin today's message in just a few moments, but first, let's join him for a few opening comments. Now, Dwayne, Scripture clearly teaches us the value of prayer, and it seems that every great Christian leader throughout history put a very high priority on prayer. As a matter of fact, the benefits of having a disciplined prayer life seem, well, so obvious. But why then do we have so much trouble doing it?
There are several things that come to my mind, Dave. One, we live in a physical world and we don't often see immediate spiritual results. I think second, we have to admit that the flesh, our bodies, we don't want to do it. It's hard work. And third, which is perhaps the most significant, is that Satan fights us when it comes to prayer. He knows the power and the potential of prayer, so he will do anything to keep us from prayer. Even when we go to the place of prayer, he will try to distract our minds, bringing all kinds of thoughts, bringing things to us that we need to do, or perhaps that we had forgotten. And I found that sometimes we literally have to keep a little notepad beside us when we're praying so we can write that down so we won't forget and say, I'm going to stay here in prayer and not let Satan distract me.
You know, the Bible tells us that the effectual prayer of the righteous man avails much. Now, what does an effectual prayer look like?
Let me mention some words that I believe lead to effectual prayer or that help us understand it. I would use the words like humility, repentance, obedience, surrender, worship, servanthood. Those are the words that I think paint a picture to help us understand better what effectual prayer is. I can tell you what I think hinders effectual prayer. It's one word. It's a very simple, small word, three letters. It has I in the center. Anybody want to guess? Sin. That stops effectual prayer. I believe effectual prayer is vulnerable, transparent communication with God. It involves bearing your soul, crying out in both praise and petition. I believe it is waiting and listening for God to hear his response. It's not just talking to him or telling him about your needs. It's being still and listening to what he would speak back to you. I think effective prayer is praying the scriptures and laying claim to the promises of his word. I don't think you can be any more effective in your prayer than actually praying what the scripture says.
As you'll discover today, Dwayne believes that the ideal prayer contains three key elements. We might call them the three P's of prayer. So to hear more, let's join Dwayne now for his third message in this series on the fundamentals of prayer.
A kindergarten class went to the fire station for a tour and instructions on fire safety. The fireman was explaining what to do in case of a fire, and so he said, "First, go to the door and see if it's hot." Then he said, "Fall to your knees." "Does anyone know why you ought to fall to your knees?" One little guy said, "Sure. Start praying and asking God for help to get you out of the fire." That's a pretty good idea. If you're in a hard situation, start praying. Unfortunately, that's the only time when most people pray, when they're in a difficult or hot situation. You know, children's prayers have always made me smile. They always have such an interesting way of just being so vulnerable and transparent. My mother was teaching her 3-year-old how to say the Lord's Prayer. And for several evenings at bedtime, the child had repeated them. They had gone over and over. And one night, finally, the child was ready to do it solo. I mean, just, you know, if mom thought the child had it down. And so the mother listened with pride as The child carefully renunciated the words right up to the end. And the child said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." Well, in our world today, that's probably what we're more familiar with. We're more sensitive or conscientious to the reality of email than we are to the reality of sin around us. Well, there's some other children's prayers I thought would be interesting. I'll share with you just short ones here. It says, "Dear God, in Sunday school, they told us all about you and what you do. Who does it when you're on vacation? Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there right now." Or how about, "Dear God, I think of you sometimes, even when I'm not praying." Well, I hope that as we grow as believers, that our times of thinking of God are more continuous, that we're thinking of God all the way throughout our day. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Some preschool children were memorizing that very verse. One little girl trying very hard to remember that verse. The way she had been taught, she kind of twisted and turned it as she cautiously recited, "Call to me," and she paused briefly. She didn't know what the next part was, and she said, "And I'll call you right back." They're just so down to earth, so real. Well, I am so glad that we have a God who is always ready to hear our prayers. You know, I've read that there's actually a hotline, a prayer line. It's a dial a prayer for atheists. When you call, you don't get any answer. Nobody's there. Well, I'm glad we have a God who does hear an answer. Now, last week, we looked at some biblical characters and considered what would have happened if they would not have prayed. We also looked at biblical ramifications if we don't pray. And I'd like to just take a moment to kind of review those. You all have your notes at home in your file. I'm sure you reviewed them all week long, every day for your devotions. Right. But let me just remind you what we looked at. We looked at the concept. What if Abraham had not prayed for Lot? Or if Moses had not prayed for Israel? If Elijah had not prayed on Mount Carmel when God sent the fire, when there was a great victory on Mount Carmel? If the disciples had not prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit that birthed, that exploded the New Testament church? If the believers had not prayed for Peter when he was imprisoned? If the church had not prayed for Paul? If Paul had not prayed for the churches? If you and I don't pray for our families, our church, our co-workers, our nation, what would happen if we fail to pray? Well, we went on in that message and we looked at a couple of these kind of things. By failing to pray, we forfeit personal blessings. We hinder the work of God's kingdom. We sin by our disobedience. We miss God's blessings and joy in our life. We do not grow spiritually when we don't pray. We are vulnerable to the enemy when we don't pray. We miss opportunities to minister. We will have less eternal reward when we don't pray. Well, those are the things that we looked at last week. But I'd like today to look at, again, another message on this concept of a fundamental of prayer by looking at a prototype of prayer. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I want to see in this person's life what happens when we do pray. We're in Daniel chapter 6. How many of you are familiar with the story of Daniel? Ever since we were children. I mean, one of those fascinating children's stories of Daniel being arrested because he was so faithful and consistent in his prayer life, that even when a decree was made that nobody should go to anyone else other than King Darius, Daniel is still seeing being faithful, going to his place of prayer, kneeling 3 times a day before the Lord. And of course, those who were against Daniel made it known to the king what was happening. And according to the law,
He had to be destroyed, or at least they thought so. You know the story, he was thrown into the lion's den? Well, let's pause there for a moment and take a look at this story. Daniel chapter 6. We see here, and I'm going to have to drop all the way down to verse 10. There's too much here to try to read in one service. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, notice how they're trying to put light on him, negative light. He pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Now, I want us to pause there. We're going to pick that up there again in just a few moments, but I want to look at this prototype of prayer. The word prototype is, by definition in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, an individual or a model, a standard or an example that exhibits essential features. And we're going to look at the characteristics of Daniel's life that are exalted for us as an example to follow. Several things I want you to note. First of all, we see in verse 10, Daniel's prayer life was persistent. Daniel had heard the decree that King Darius had made. The decree was that nobody could seek any god in prayer or any counsel from anyone else besides King Darius. Now, when this first was brought to Darius, it sort of appealed to him. It sort of puffed up his own ego and his own pride. But he didn't realize it was a trap to get Daniel. But no matter, Daniel did not waver. He stood firm and he continued his persistence in prayer, just as he had done before, it says in verse 10. Now, I find it interesting. We say that we're busy, and we are. But do you notice, and if you've read the story of Daniel, he was a governor. He was one of the prefects or satraps given authority over the region, and he was given authority even over the other governors. So he was no small servant boy. He was in a position of authority. He had great responsibility. He was busy, is what I'm trying to say. But even in his busyness, he was persistent in his life of prayer. What does it take in our lives to where we say, I'm too busy to pray? What does it take for anything to derail our prayer life? The question could be asked, how persistent are you? Edmund and Janice Gravely were flying his small plane when he died at the controls. His wife kept the plane aloft for 2 hours as she radioed for help. Help! Help! Won't somebody help me? She kept saying over the radio. My pilot is unconscious. She had not known that he had died beside her in the plane. Authorities had picked up the distress signal, But they were not able to radio back to her because after every declaration or cry for help, she would change the signal to try to get somebody else's attention. Help! Help! Will anybody help me? Click. Help! Help! Will somebody help me? Click. She was never giving them any chance to respond. And when I read that, I realized that prayer and persistence is in prayer is not just us crying out to God, help, help, and then running off to some other venue or some other place of prayer. Persistent prayer is waiting in prayer. And I see that Daniel had this persistence where he went several times a day, but there's an indication through the routine that he was also going there to wait. Notice with me, secondly, I see also in verse 10 that Daniel's prayer was private. Where did he go to pray? Do you remember what we read? Verse 10? He went home. He went home to a private place. He got out of the busyness of his life. Now, for some of you, you'd say, my home isn't quiet. It's not a private place. But all of us need to find a private place to get alone with God. It says, not only did he go home, but he went to his upstairs bedroom, a private place where he could cry out his heart to God, where he could express his emotions, where he could experience the privacy. You know, sometimes if you've had a life of prayer or there have been times of deep prayer, you have experienced that feeling where you want to be alone. It's a place of vulnerability. It's a place where you don't really want anybody to see you. It might be a place where you're crying. It might be a place where you want to kneel or even stretch out on the floor. It might be a place where you want to stand up and get your hands up in the air. Prayer in your spiritual life is first private before it becomes public. A third thing I notice about Daniel's prayer, it was patterned. Patterned. How many times did Daniel go away to pray? Three. Even though he was busy, he continued. And it was critical to his spiritual well-being and strength. He had a daily pattern, a spiritual discipline or a habit that became his strength. I believe that his consistent and persistent prayer was the key to his victory, was the key to his position of authority, and obviously it was the key to his survival when he faced the lions. He had a patterned prayer. I found this quote by Martin Luther this week. It says, "If I don't give God the first 3 hours of the day, I cannot get through my work." Wow! Does that hit you like it hits me? I mean, I would say, I've got too much work today. I can't spend very long in prayer. He realized he had to spend more time in prayer because of the amount of work he had. Again, I have found that often when I spend more time in prayer with God, He helps me get the work done faster than I would have if I wouldn't have spent time alone with God. Daniel's prayer life was patterned. When do you pray? How long do you pray? I'm not suggesting necessarily that you have a certain length of time that you need to fill like a legalistic ritual. But the length of time that you spend alone with God is an indication of the level of intimacy that you do have with God. A cartoon depicted a pastor holding a phone while the clock read 2 a.m. The voice on the phone in the cartoon caption said, "I know it's early, Pastor, but I figured you are usually up this time praying." Ha, ha, ha. Pastors struggle to pray just like you do. As a matter of fact, I would guess sometimes that pastors may struggle to pray more sometimes than you do. Because if the enemy can keep the pastors from praying, no doubt he has a way to keep the church in neutral from moving forward.
Persistent, private, patterned. If you long to improve your prayer life but you don't know how, let me encourage you to implement these three P's into your prayer life today. Persistent, private, patterned. Now let's join Dwayne and our director Don Schenk for a few closing comments.
Thanks, Dave. Dwayne, something that stood out in your lesson today is the fact that everything Daniel modeled in his prayer life is consistent with what Jesus taught about prayer. And yet Jesus was teaching hundreds of years after the life of Daniel. For example, in Matthew, you mentioned that Daniel went upstairs into a private bedroom, not out in a public place, but a private place. In Matthew, Jesus teaches, you know, when you pray, don't do it out in public just to be seen, but go into your bedroom or into a private place. In fact, in modern day terms, we often talk of having a prayer closet.
Don, we actually see a consistency throughout Scripture of those things. We see when people pray, who were committed to prayer, actually followed those same patterns and models. And so we're not discovering anything new. The battle is to really continue to do what we know we should do.
Well then, Dwayne, tell me this. Throughout Scripture, we've seen prayer playing such a crucial role in the lives of Bible characters from beginning of Old Testament to the end of the New Testament. Yet despite such vivid examples of the importance and necessity of prayer, it seems that today there are so many people who are careless about their prayer lives. Why do you think that is?
I think we have everything we need, at least here in America. We don't pray because we don't have a need. There is no crisis causing us to go for help. But people are, I think, for the most part, spiritually numb or blind, perhaps even dead to spiritual reality, and we find ourselves being caught up living for the moment. So it goes back to the whole concept of the fact that we don't have a need to pray.
Well, Dwayne, I'd like to share about a need that I've been praying about, a need that our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe have been praying about, and that's a need associated with our broadcast in Zimbabwe. We've been focusing on this all month, so those of you who are joining us again, who were with us last week, will remember that I talked about the need to upgrade our studio in Zimbabwe. That studio was established back in the early 70s, and we're still using some of the same equipment, the original equipment that went in there. We're to the point where we desperately need to modernize that studio. So we need updated equipment, we need new computers in there. We have the personnel who are capable of doing that. We don't have the finances to be able to do that. And so I want to just present that to our listeners today and want to make you aware, if you're listening today and you've had a burden to share the gospel with someone and perhaps you can't go overseas and preach, but you've got that opportunity to be able to give. And that sometimes that kind of idea of giving gets belittled a little bit. Is that all you can do is just give? That is an important part of kingdom building. Being able to make a contribution that can be used on behalf of a ministry in another country that can reach out and touch thousands of lives.
Don, one of the things that comes to my mind is this is the kind of gift that keeps on giving. When you are installing equipment that continues to be used day after day, like the station is in Zimbabwe, that's exciting. And obviously we won't know the impact until eternity, but that's exciting to know that we are making a difference and people are both being encouraged spiritually as well as being brought to the Lord as their Savior.
The great thing about radio is that it can often succeed where other means of evangelism fail. And if you'd like to help reach the people of Zimbabwe with the gospel using a medium that has stood the test of time, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. As always, a copy of today's lesson, this one titled The Fundamentals of Prayer, is available without cost or obligation. All you need to do is call and ask for program number 0503. You can call toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or write to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. We'll be happy to send you a copy of today's program as an extension of our ministry to you. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. We all know that God can do anything He wants, that's a given. But He has always chosen to use the prayers of His people to further His work. So join us next week for the conclusion of Dwayne's series, The Fundamentals of Prayer. Until then, I'm Dave Deno, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.